Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford Fire and Rescue in this morning, and this is going to be somewhat of a regular occurrence every few months or so. We'll get caught up on what's going on and talk about safety. Katie Brady is here this morning. Katie, welcome. This was you approached me about this towards the end of the year. It was a good idea, and so we've got lots of good things to talk about. And it also is a chance to you get to bring in kind of show and tell. You've brought a guest with you this morning.
Exactly. Thank you for having us. We're looking forward to this.
I am too. Deputy Fire Marshal Ben Goldman here this morning. Ben, it's good to have you here this morning.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be here.
You and I have talked about doing a show, since I met you in 2015. I think that's when I first met you.
Yes, sir.
And you had Duchess,
Accelerant Detection K9.
Okay, I knew there was a name. There's more than just a dog.
Yep, it's more than she's more than a dog.
I had never seen fire accelerant?
An accelerant detection canine.
Accelerant detection canine. I'd never seen one in action until I saw Duchess. And it was just fascinating, the little show that you put on.
Correct. It is. It's very fascinating to watch the dogs do what they do.
How are they trained to be able to do what they do?
So they're imprinted, which is they're trained to sniff out that accelerant, right? And then daily we would do training. Me and Duchess would do training for her to keep that imprint going, and to allow her to be able to do her job.
How often did you have to train? Was that daily?
We train daily, 7 days a week.
Wow. Just to be able to keep that up.
Just to be able to keep that up.
I'm trying to remember. Was she the first accelerant dog that we had had around here?
No, she was actually the third accelerant dog. Spotsylvania Fire Rescue had two prior to Duchess coming on.
Well, I can remember several times you would do programs, and you took Duchess into schools took her all around, and it would be just fascinating of where you would put something in a can, and there'd be a number of cans set up, and she would go right to where she had to go.
Yes, we would definitely go into schools. We enjoyed it. She loved the kids. She loved people, right, in general. But we would definitely go into schools. We would do public education events, and part of the show was to show the public what she could do, and that was, you know, we use cans, we would use different items. That wasn't all the time cans. Sometimes it was just a blind drop on a floor somewhere and see if she could find that drop using her nose.
And that's that. To have a dog like that. Talk a little bit, Ben, about how that helps fire and rescue.
So she would help us after the fire was put out. Duchess could go in and sniff around to see if somebody used an accelerant or if there was an accelerant present at a fire scene. She would help pinpoint where we needed to collect the best sample to send to a lab to get confirmation that there was an accelerant there.
Without a dog,
without a dog that takes hours.
Yeah.
And hours upon hours. I always equated it to what might take us 8 hours to dig a fire scene. Duchess could go in 10 or 15 minutes and sniff around and pinpoint us in the right area for us to look at to determine the cause of the fire.
Boy, just the training and the to be able to do that.
Yes.
Now, she is retired, right?
She is retired. She's at home living her best life. And we move at Duchess pace now. She does what Duchess wants to do.
Does that change what you do, not being around Duchess and being, do you miss?
Oh, absolutely. I definitely miss having that partner in the back of the vehicle that, like, she couldn't talk, but she listened.
Yeah.
I mean, it was always nice to get in the, vehicle, and there's this thing sitting right here, sitting right next to my head, panting, tongue out, ready to talk or bark at me.
I guess that meant, I mean, you were on call of the time.
7 days on call, 24/7. She was the only one in this area, in the Fredericksburg area. So I would spend, like, people would call from Spotsylvania, the investigators from Spotsylvania would call, investigators from Prince William.
Yeah.
We went to Prince George's County, Maryland, Arlington, Prince William, King George, Spotsylvania, city of Fredericksburg. She was the only one in this area that they could call on to do that job for them.
What a great asset for fire and rescue to have that commitment to have something like
yes, it was a great great asset to have.
Well, I haven't seen Duchess in a few years, but wish her my best as she is now retired. Stafford Fire and Rescue here this morning. We're going to take a quick break and continue on. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.com.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Stafford Fire and Rescue in this morning as we got lots of stuff to talk about. This is a National Poison Prevention Week. And Katie Brady, that means, I guess what it means. Poison Prevention Week. These are things around the house, especially if you have kids, to really, really take seriously.
Yeah, so National Poison Prevention Week was established in 1961 by Congress, and the idea is to bring attention to poison prevention and especially those unintentional poisonings. And we find more and more that those are happening in the home, and it's from all those cleaning products, all those different things we keep in our house to keep our home clean, to keep our clothes clean, to keep ourselves clean. And when we use them the way that they're supposed to be used, that's great. Our home stays clean. Our clothes stay clean. But when people get a hold of them, especially younger children is the majority, but there are older people who get a hold of them and consume them, who don't use them properly, that's when it can become a poisoning, whether intentional or not. And then we also see it with medication. We have been emphasizing to kids in the school the importance of only taking medication from an adult you trust, making sure you're taking the right medication, and that, you know, not everyone takes medication the same, not everyone can take the same medication, and making sure that if they're not a lot of medicine, we do an activity where they see how similar medicine and candy can look.
Yeah.
And so I think they walk away with an understanding that, you know, maybe I see something sitting on my counter and I think it's candy, but it's actually not. And so not just eating something because you see it or consuming something because you see it, and giving them, we're talking to third graders usually, and giving them the tools they need, especially if they're looking after younger brothers and sisters.
Boy, what a great program to be able to go in and do that. And that's something that a lot of times, if you're not around kids, you don't think of those kinds of things, but you at least keep things up away from them, and especially like we say with medications, it can look like candy.
Yeah, keeping them not only out of reach but also out of sight. A lot of you know, if you tell anyone you can't have that, you can't touch that.
Yes,
everyone's going to want to reach for it. Everyone's going to want to grab whatever that is. But if you can keep those cleaning products, laundry products, other things like that, both out of reach and out of sight. A lot of people store cleaning products under their kitchen sink. And that's right at the level of a younger child. And mm-hmm. there are safety mechanisms you can put in place, but if you can store them out of reach and out of sight, often they may not even know that they're there and that they shouldn't be reaching for them.
With the out of sight, that's that is as far as tips go, that's just a gold tip. The other thing is a lot of these cleaning kinds of things, we unfortunately hear the cases when they are consumed by anybody. I mean, they can be deadly.
Yes, and it can be it can make you very sick very quickly.
Yeah.
And a lot of cleaning products these days, they make them to look nice, the packaging. They make them to smell really nice. And especially for a young child that doesn't know better, we know that little kids explore the world by putting things in their mouth. And that's where things can take an unfortunate turn. So if we can make sure those things are not in an area they're playing in, making sure that they're not able to get access to them. Those are very tried and true ways that we can prevent those from happening.
We just changed the clocks recently, and with daylight savings time, and it's always you always have the same message, but smoke detectors. If you didn't do it before, you should do it now. Check your smoke detectors.
Yes, you need to check your smoke detectors and change the batteries in them. And check the date, the manufactured date of them. And if they're over 10 years old, we would request you to go buy a new smoke detector.
10 years. And they're made so well now too. I mean,
the technology
has changed so much.
The technology on the smoke detectors have changed to the point where you don't have to change the batteries anymore. You buy a smoke detector mm-hmm. that's a 10-year smoke detector. At the end of the 10 years, you go buy another one. You don't, and the batteries last for 10 years on them.
Unfortunately, you see, we see cases all around here when we'll hear about and see that there were fires, and I'm sure one of the heartbreaking lines that you have to put in a story sometimes when it says there wasn't a working smoke detector or there wasn't a smoke detector in the house, and boy, it's always tough to see that.
Oh, it's very tragic to go to a house fire and find that there was not a working smoke detector. Smoke detectors, they don't cost that much.
Mm-mm.
And it's an insurance policy, correct, right? It provides the insurance of notifying you when there's smoke there. It can detect the smoke before you can see or smell it.
And especially at night. And
especially at night when you're sleeping, yes.
In those situations, but again, the key word is a working smoke detector, and yes. That's why whether it's spring or fall, it's good just it only takes a few minutes
just to check it, just push the button on it and check it and make sure it does what it's supposed to do, which is to alarm you when it goes off.
What do you it's always and I've been guilty of this too, having a smoke detector near the kitchen, and you burn something and it keeps going off, so you take the battery out and then you forget to put the battery back in.
Oh yes, that's, we find that a lot. Now they recommend, you know, smoke detectors in the bedrooms, in the hallways, and on each level of the residence. And they don't recommend putting one in the kitchen, so that solves that
solves that problem.
The cooking timer problem, right? That's what everybody calls it, is a cooking timer.
So in a house, every house is different, obviously. But you're looking at maybe 3-4 smoke detectors,
depending on the style or the size of the house. It could have up to 10 smoke detectors in it, one on each level. One inside of a bedroom, one right outside of a bedroom, in the living quarters. You could have 10, depending on the size of your house.
If I have kids, it's a good idea to every once in a while let the smoke detector go off and talk about it?
Let it go off and talk to your kids, because kids are scared of that sound.
Yeah.
And you should once a month maybe practice doing escape plans. You know, draw up an escape plan. Where are we going to meet at? Mm-hmm. Right? How do we get out? And practice that, because in the middle of the night when you're not thinking, what's the kid going to do? Right? They're not going to know what to do. If we don't practice it, they're not going to know what to do.
Right. So what? We do fire drills in schools. Just same thing at home?
Same thing at home. Fire drills at schools, fire drills at home. Just practice, and where are you going to go?
If you ask any kid in their classroom where they go during a fire drill, they'll be able to tell you we go to this part of the blacktop or this part of the playground. We turn around, and we look at the school, and our teacher counts us off. It's the same thing at home. We find more kids feel more confident in what to do in a fire drill at school than they do at home. You know, we ask how you get out of your house at home, where you spend arguably almost as much time as you do at school generally. And they have no idea. They don't have a meeting spot. So it's the same thing that they would do at school, just at home.
Interesting that they can tell you at school, but they can't. And you work, and Katie, you're in the schools a lot. And like you said, I mean, doing these programs, that's kind of, it's in some cases, that's kind of probably a little bit of alarming that we don't talk about these things as much at home.
Yes, all of them, they're like, oh, yeah, we do fire drills, and we know we go to this spot every time, and that's our spot. And we can use that to talk about what they should be doing at home. We always meet at this spot, and here are different ways we can get out of a room. And it gives us a good place to start that conversation, and they can relate it to what they do at school.
So, Ben, as far as having an escape plan, I guess you should look at you know, sit down with your kids and look at the room and make some plans. If this were to happen, you do this.
Absolutely. And not only have one way out, have two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have that second way to, like, if you can't get out of your bedroom, have a way out the window. Or if you can't get out the front door, here's how you go out the back door.
Right? Yeah.
But always come back to that same meeting spot. Whether you go out the front door or you go out the back door, pick that meeting spot out somewhere away that everybody meets up at.
We always had a tree. We always told the kids.
Everybody talks about the big tree.
It
right?
was the tree. Go to
it
the,
was the tree. Because why the tree? Because the tree's probably not going nowhere.
Right.
It doesn't move. It stays in the same spot all the time.
And when you get there, stay there.
And stay there. Yes. And once you get out, stay out. Don't go back in.
Yeah.
That's another big one is once you get out, stay out. Let the fire department come in and do what they need to do. They'll go back. They'll go in and do what they need to do. But we don't want the public going, once they're out, to go back in.
Right. We've gotten at home, and I had not even thought about this, but we've gotten these little small motion activated kind of lights that in hallways. And I don't know if that would work if there were ever a fire, but I thought if you were dealing with smoke, you'd at least have a light to guide you.
That's correct. You could put up little battery powered lights or rechargeable lights, plug them in.
Yeah.
When you lose power or it gets dark, it motion sensor, as you're crawling to get out, it would assist you in showing you how to get out of the house.
Well, and I guess too, just letting your kids know what the smoke detector sounds like and getting them used to that. If there is a fire, it's going to be just chaotic and they're going to be going off, but you want them to know this is what we trained for.
This is exactly, and practicing that sound. When they hear that sound for the first time, they're going to be scared of it. They're not going to know what to do. And then you said the word chaotic. It's going to be very chaotic when an event like this happens. It's very chaotic. If you don't train for that, you're not going to know what to do in the moment, right?
Do you also talk to kids about when a fire person, if the fire and rescue gets there and comes in, that if they come in, they're going to likely have oxygen and go with them. Don't fight them.
Absolutely. And that is that pretty much every public education event that we do, especially in the schools, we have a firefighter dress up in all of their gear so the kids can hear what it sounds like. They hear the voice. Our voices are muffled because we're wearing the mask, breathing the self-contained breathing apparatus. We want the kids to know what that sounds like so they're not scared of it.
They also look significantly different than when we walk in just in our regular uniforms.
Yeah.
And so we let them watch us put our gear on so that they see. We don't just have someone walk in fully donned in their gear.
Right.
Let them see us put all of our gear on. They hear the sounds that our air packs make when we turn them on. Because if you're little and you see this, you know, what appears to be a great big firefighter coming in, like Ben said, we want to make sure they hear what we're going to sound like and they can see it as well.
Yeah.
Because as you mentioned, in a chaotic fire scene, especially if it's really, really dark, we teach them that they can go, that they should go to that firefighter. They can go to that firefighter and they shouldn't hide from the firefighter.
Yeah, I mean, you just as we were talking here and thinking, would be you've got a fire alarm going off, you've got a strange looking person, so it's good to again run through these drills.
Absolutely.
I want to talk a little bit more about this. We're gonna take a quick break and continue on this morning. A lot more to talk about. We'll talk about carbon monoxide detectors and we'll talk about a career in fire and rescue too. More coming up this morning with Katie Brady and Deputy Fire Marshal Ben Goldman from Stafford Fire and Rescue. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. In New York.
Opinions, we've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EB Mobility, here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Good stuff with Stafford Fire and Rescue this morning. Katie Brady and Deputy Fire Marshal Ben Goldman in talking about stuff. As we talk about just about fires, one of the other things, Ben, that you hear more and more about and that you guys talk about is sleeping with your doors closed.
Yes. Sleeping with your doors closed could mean the difference between a room being, or the temperature being 100 degrees and 1,000 degrees in the event of a fire.
Really? That big a gap?
That's what research has showed, that the difference could be you could have 1,000 degree temperature in the hallway and your room temperature could be 100 degrees. Not only does it block the heat, it also blocks the smoke from coming into your room. There's still smoke that seeps in. So you can seal your doors with like towels or clothes at the bottom to prevent some of that smoke from coming in. Sleeping with your door closed really does help.
I hear more and more about that. I know you've been talking about that for years, but it just seems recently I keep hearing more and more emphasis on it. And when you talk about that, that makes a big difference.
It definitely makes a big difference.
So if I have a fire and generally it seems that a lot of these for whatever reason are at night, when I'm awakened and I can smell smoke, I hear the smoke. Hopefully, I'm hearing a smoke alarm and I have a smoke detector. I guess I need to act, right? That's where the training comes in, where you need to get out.
Correct. Yeah, that's where the repetitiveness of the training will help you get out of that chaotic event quicker.
Well, and the other thing is, I mean, the way houses are constructed now, they can go pretty quickly.
The way houses are constructed today, once you hear the smoke detector, you could have as little as 2 minutes to escape the residence.
Mm. So
This is it's a good reminder.
They burn very fast.
Yeah. To take action. Anything else on fires and safety in the house that we have missed?
When you're doing that escape planning and practicing with your family, you want to teach everyone to feel the door. So if you do hear that smoke alarm going off, if maybe you do have some smoke coming under your door, you want to feel the door before you just open your door and try and traverse that smoke. Smoke, especially when it's dark at night, is very disorienting, and people get turned around. They think they're going downstairs to get out their front door, or they think they're headed towards their front door, and maybe they get turned around and they go back into the room they were in. So you want to practice feeling that door. If the door is hot, then we don't want to go out that way. We could be going into, it may not be fire right outside that door, but there could be a lot of smoke, and that smoke is just as dangerous as the fire is.
Yeah.
Instead, you want to get to that, keep that door shut, get to the window. If you're upstairs, signal for help. If you have a phone, calling 911, shouting, getting people's attention. But you're better off letting the firefighters get there, get a ladder up to you. As Ben said, those doors really keep the temperature down to survivable conditions. They keep the smoke out, especially if you put like a blanket or something under your door, it's going to make that room survivable through isolating you. And it is much safer to let those firefighters get a ladder to you, assist you down the ladder, than you would be trying to traverse the smoke.
If I see smoke, or I see something suspicious at someone's house, a neighbor's house, should I call 911 and get the process going?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you recognize smoke and you know it's coming from either the inside or the outside of the house, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? You should definitely call 911 and get the process, get that ball rolling. It's going to take a few minutes for the fire department to get there.
Right, you know? Right.
It could take 2 minutes. It could take 8 minutes to get the fire department there. And fire doubles its size every minute or so.
I think most people would rather have
early fire recognition
get there and maybe have it be a fire pit out back. Generally, you can tell the difference between a fire pit in the backyard and smoke coming from the house. But we have had several fires I can think of in the last few years where they've been called in by people passing by and seeing flames come from the roof, and the people inside had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you see that and try to get them out, see if someone's in the house.
Absolutely.
To get them out.
You can safely make it to the front door to alert them.
Yeah.
But absolutely.
Carbon monoxide detectors. How important is it to have a carbon monoxide detector in your house?
Carbon monoxide detectors are very important, especially if you have a fossil fuel burning equipment in your house. If you have a attached car garage and you park your car inside there, you don't want to start your car up and leave the car running with all your doors closed. Mm-hmm. Correct, right? So that carbon monoxide detector will pick that up, because as everybody knows, carbon monoxide is colorless and odorless. You don't know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You need something there that would be able to detect that.
And I guess that's the same kind of thing. When you check your smoke detector, you check your carbon monoxide detector.
Check your carbon monoxide detector also.
Stafford Fire and Rescue, our focus this morning. By the way, there's the website is staffordfirerescue.com. There's also a great Facebook page that you can follow along, and in a lot of great information is frequently posted there. But staffordfirerescue.com, or just check out everything on Facebook. And you have, Katie, you have all kinds of what you talk about going into schools. There also are open houses at firehouses during the course of a year. There really are a lot of ways to educate yourself and your family.
Yes, we're very fortunate. We're able to go into the schools. We have a lot of different civic groups and community groups that ask us to come in, or they come into our stations. And they get to see what the firefighters do. They get to see the apparatus they drive. And we're here to serve the community. So, getting to show them what we have to serve them with is always a great time. And then as we get into the summer, as we get into Fire Prevention Month in October, we have open houses and different opportunities to engage with the community.
Who doesn't like to go to a firehouse and to see all the equipment? Ben, when did you decide that fire and rescue was something you wanted to do?
Oh, as a kid, as a little one running around, I kind of followed in my dad's footsteps. He was in public safety. He was a state trooper. He also was EMT in the town that I grew up in. I think that's what kind of started my the ball rolling in that.
So it was all around you.
It was around me. That's what I grew up with.
Right? What's some of the training that firefighters go through?
Oh, so we start off with firefighter 1 and 2, an EMT, and then from there you kind of branch off to what you want to do, right? When I came through, I took firefighter 1 and 2 and EMT, then I became a medic, and at some point my career just jumped over to the fire marshal's office, which... you have all the fire marshal related stuff that we could do.
So what does a fire marshal do? I mean, you investigate fires.
We investigate
is what
fires.
I always thought.
Yep, we investigate fires. Our main job though is to go out into the public buildings and do inspections and make sure that they're code compliant with the fire code. Make sure they're safe for the public to come in. That's our main job. And then we have the fire investigations. We have hazmat investigations. Mm-hmm. Really, the fire marshal's office is there to do whatever it's needed.
Yeah.
When somebody can't figure something out, it normally lands in the fire marshal's office, and we work on it. We're technical advisors to the fire department, really.
Yeah. And Kay, as we talk about a career in fire and rescue, I see on your Facebook page where people are going through school and graduating, and if this is something that someone's interested in, check it out.
Absolutely, we do have an academy in right now, and we'll have another one coming in behind it. And we just had one graduate in January, so. We're getting more and more people to be able to better serve more and more of Stafford. We do have an interest list on our website. If you're interested in knowing about, there's a video they can watch about the hiring process. It's pretty extensive, and it does take some time to get through all of the steps, but they can learn about the hiring process, and there's access to different videos. They can kind of get a sense of what it's like to work for Stafford County Fire and Rescue. And then there's a list, so the next time that our process opens up, they'll be the first to know. They can get their application in and begin that hiring process.
StaffordFireRescue.com is the website. The 4 p.m. burn law is in effect right now. Every spring we talk about this, and every spring, and especially we get days in the spring, especially when we get windy afternoons, and it's a warm day, and someone wants to go out and burn. And it usually means trouble.
It definitely will end up in trouble, most likely. Yes, between February 15th and April 30th, the 4 p.m. burn law, that's a statewide burn ban. That's across the state of Virginia. It's not just relevant to Stafford County. Fires are more likely to spread that during that time of the year, they've determined, than due to the elevated wind conditions and lower humidity levels. They say after 4 p.m. the winds normally die down, the humidity level comes up, which is assist in not allowing your fire to spread.
So don't burn before 4
don't
o'clock.
Don't burn before 4 p.m.
If you do, you set yourself
you
up.
You set yourself up. If you're burning before 4 p.m., you're really setting yourself up to... either one, your fire spreading, getting out of control, burning somebody else's property up, or burning your own property up.
Yeah, yeah. So you see signs for it. It's something that is talked about, but it's definitely a
it's definitely an issue where we often, like you say, we hear about fires, and they generally are before 4 p.m. this time of year.
Yes, sir.
So don't do it. Ben Goldman and Katie Brady with Stafford Fire and Rescue in this morning. StaffordFireRescue.com is the website. We'll take a break and wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
See.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Katie Brady's the Public Information Officer with Stafford Fire and Rescue. She's here this morning along with Deputy Fire Marshal Ben Goldman as we've been talking to. Good stuff this morning. Ben, one of the things as a firefighter, we talked about how you had kind of a family history with this, but you stuck with it. Life as a firefighter, no 2 days are ever the same.
Absolutely. No 2 days are ever the same. It's fun is not the word for it, but it's enjoyable to come to work and not do the same thing twice, 2 days in a row.
Right. And when you're on a shift and working with a team.
So I'm not on a shift.
You're not, right.
I'm not on a shift. I'm on day work. And with my job, it's definitely, there's no 2 days. I see different people every day. And it's enjoyable to get out into the community and just talk to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, when we go do inspections in these commercial buildings, we're with the commercial property, the tenants or the owners of the building, and we just walk around the building and we're looking at things and talking,
pointing things out. I'm sure you feel good when you're pointing things out and you know a light bulb comes on with the other person.
Correct. Yes, absolutely. And it's really a public education piece of the puzzle. While we're doing it, I mean, our job is education.
Yeah, yeah.
We're educating these building occupants or building owners on how to make the building safe.
And I'm sure same with you, Katie. When you're going into schools and talking about these kinds of things with the community, just the education sure never gets repetitive. Just in the sense that you don't know the person who's going to learn something from these kind of talks.
Absolutely. If even just one person takes away something that they can take home, if it's a kid, they can take home and talk to their families about and make their families safer. Or when we're doing station tours for family groups and you see kind of the, like you said, the light bulb happen for a parent and they realize the importance of keeping their door closed, or they, you know, they go home and check their smoke alarm, or they talk to their family about an escape plan. When you work on the prevention side of things, it's hard to know how many fires are prevented. But if someone can just take one little piece or more, that they learn from the station tour, the public education event, and apply that to their life and make their family safer, or they can talk to their friends about it, it can have a pretty far reach.
Well, and it's in so many cases, so many fires just seem to be a common sense kind of thing, that someone puts ashes out on the out on the deck, and all of a sudden the deck's on fire, the house is on fire. A lot of times it's a lot of little things, and just to keep reminding people about, check this, don't do that.
A lot of fires do have a piece or a cause that can come back to some sort of educational point, and we do try and take those points, because a lot of times after a fire happens in a neighborhood, it's on people's minds. People then go and check their smoke alarms. And so that we try and harness that attention and get people to check their smoke alarms, get people to be thinking about escape plans. If there's a particular cause for it, getting people thinking about how they can, if it applies to them, how they can prevent that in their own home. And getting the word out to more than just the people in that neighborhood, but a broader audience as
well.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. And again, the just speaking of smoke detectors, you can't say it enough. If you didn't check it when we had the time change, check it right now.
And if you have that chirping alarm, we see a lot of people, their alarm starts to chirp. And that gets kind of annoying after a while. So it becomes a nuisance and people take it down. They don't replace it. So if you've had a chirping alarm, you've taken it down, it's really, really important that you get that alarm functioning again and installed properly. It could be a matter of the battery has gone dead. It could be a matter of the smoke alarm, like we mentioned, expires after 10 years. The manufacturer cannot guarantee it will work. Sometimes they chirp when the whole alarm needs to be replaced, and that may be the case, but it's really important if you've taken that down for whatever reason to get that put back up. And like we mentioned, you don't want to put it in the kitchen because it will go off every time you cook. Put it just around the corner. Put it in a hallway somewhere close by that if there's a fire in the kitchen, it will be able to alert you. But it's really, really important to make sure you have those working smoke alarms in your house.
And if you've got any questions, just get another smoke detector. Get new ones and don't take a chance.
That's correct.
Absolutely.
StaffordFireRescue.com is the website. Thank you both for coming in. Great information, and we'll continue to do this and talk about it, just because you can't talk about it too much.
Absolutely.
Tell Duchess, pet Duchess for me today, please.
I will pet Duchess this afternoon for you when I get home.
Ben Goldman is Deputy Fire Marshal in Stafford County. Katie Brady is Public Information Officer with Stafford Fire and Rescue. Thank you both. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.